Welcome to Tantra FM. What we have today? Did you know that if the lovemaking is approached as a mystical experience, it becomes a form of yogic meditation? Quite surprising, isn't it? Follow us in order to find out more. Last but not least, you will learn about the sixth chakra, Ajna Chakra, as it is known in Hatha Yoga. Stay tuned and find out how to amplify Ajna Chakra by using proper musical support. Our yogi hosts Amaris and Valentino will also keep you company.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I'm your host Amaris. Meditation and Lovemaking, Part 1. The relationship between the physical act of making love and meditation is not necessarily obvious at first glance, but it is nonetheless real and extraordinarily powerful. If the act of lovemaking is approached as a mystical experience, it becomes indeed a form of yoga or meditation. The implication of this statement is that a total absorption of the mind in the true direct experience of love occurs between two people who really love each other during an act of love. In fact, it truly is an active and creative act which fulfills the being on multiple levels, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual as well. So, just like meditation, the act of making love without being involved in thoughts concerning the experience or in anything else is what the Oriental tradition recommends in order to be able to reach a mystical experience in this manner. The fundamental key to succeed in transforming a common approach to sexuality into a mystical, elevated experience is to allow yourself to extricate your habitual thoughts during the sensual act of lovemaking. Meditation and sexuality. The mental integration through sexuality in the form of meditation is not different from specific yoga techniques. In fact, this approach should dictate our attitude in any kind of activity, while eating, sleeping, breathing, cooking, walking, watching movies, making love, and so forth. It is also true that a meditative attitude attracts unbelievable results. In fact, when we limit the discursive thinking process, we give our latent subconscious capacities the possibility to fully manifest themselves. It gives our experience great energy, and at the same time, a greater capacity to control this energy, not through the rational mind, but through that superconscious force, the expression of will and divine harmony, reflected into the pure mirror of our consciousness, clear and untroubled by rational thinking, which is limiting, personal, and egoistic. Consequently, in order to turn an erotic experience into a spiritual one should try to stop what is usually termed rational thinking. You may ask, why would I do that? And the question would be reasonable. The answer is because this kind of thinking, known as rational thinking, is limited and also sets limits to your experiences. And, as you may easily guess, one cannot know the infinite by being limited to the finite. It is highly important that you stop this kind of reasoning for a while. Still, simply setting the subconscious forces, sensations, and experiences free is not truly a mystical state. A mystical experience occurs generally when the erotic energy is sublimed and refined. The superconsciousness plays the most important role here because it enlightens us and our experiences. This is also the reason for the great importance of another element, termed transfiguration. This implies the active, real, and creative belief in a certain pattern or divine archetype, against the dark and shapeless background of the subconscious world. To be more clear, when being with or thinking about your lover, and you may extend the experience, see in him or her this divine archetype which you have in your heart. To see the god or the goddess beyond the ordinary image of the one you love, to unite with what is most sublime in him or her, this is transfiguration. Such a relationship leads to an elevated world and helps us experience the erotic act in the form of meditation. Through transfiguration, the human is endowed with divine virtues. How to approach erotic experience? In order to experience spiritual ecstasy while we make love with sexual continence, traditional Oriental literature recommends that we eliminate our thoughts. Tantra states that we have to open up to sexuality and approach it with an empty mind, a state called the absence of mind or the pure mind. This recommendation has often been interpreted the wrong way, ad literam. If one does not examine this statement intelligently, he or she might believe that people who have had mystical experiences suspend their mental activity in order to remain in that state where they shut off from the rest of the world and from life. However, the real sense of this recommendation is to stop a certain way of thinking, the rational, verbal, conceptual, theoretical one, or in other words, the one that evaluates and places things on a certain scale, with a certain label, based on logical representations. This way of thinking makes each experience, perception, or sensation be immediately labeled, expressed through words, and given a philosophical, moral, positive, or negative sense. It is also associated with the left cerebral hemisphere, and it first takes the form of an inner soliloquy. In fact, this way of thinking, so specific to our times, is not encouraged by ancient mystical writings, which even contain methods to minimize it in order to reach a state of balance and harmony between the two sides of the brain, the left one, logical, rational, discursive, and the right one, intuitive, creative, and aesthetical. When intercourse practiced with sexual continence blocks the verbal way of thinking, we become more conscious of what is really going on. We feel that we are drinking from the fountain of life. That's why tantric tradition encourages us to live fully and directly any experience and thus to participate actively and creatively in the erotic fusion. Thus, we become more conscious and surrounded by that experience without even trying to describe it in words while it lasts. During a tantric erotic fusion, lovers are more aware of themselves because they do not think, as we normally conceive this term, but they allow themselves to be carried away by the natural flow of things. They do not allow experiences to be filtered through the limited screen of a soliloquy. Any superior integration of an experience implies a capacity to contract and keep in mind several aspects of a problem. It is a lot more valuable than to analyze it piece by piece in time. The possibility to perceive reality on different levels, from a cosmic perspective, is obviously the attribute of a human with a superior level of consciousness, capable of viewing reality from different angles. Thus, a thing or a phenomena may be analyzed from a vital, creative, sexual, volitional, affective, intuitive, mental, or spiritual point of view. Just like meditation, the erotic experience allows us to perceive things in a creative and intuitive way. Without describing each and every sensation, and without thinking, "Oh, this feels good," or I'm in a very elevated state. We can freely enjoy our experiences. During the tantric erotic game, man and woman are open to sensations. They go deep into themselves and do not evaluate them. They just fully experience them. It is obvious that rational thinking remains integrated in the complex structure of such a state. But the mind is now capable of perceiving everything around without any kind of effort. Meditation and Lovemaking, Part 2. Practice reservatus mentis while you make love. The ordinary, common vision of life that we're accustomed to embrace comprises a broad range of discursive attitudes we might consider normal. However, tantric eroticism proves that this kind of inner discourse has to be reduced at least to the level to where it does not prevent, distort, or inhibit the emotional intimacy between the two lovers, as well as access to mystical states. Nevertheless, it is a fact of common knowledge that verbal communication, and even language, can spring from a non-discursive state of mind. The acts of speaking, listening, reading, and writing, even the soliloquy, can be spontaneous, in which case they do not cause any interference or disturbance to the proper experience. The Jnana Yoga system, a cognitive form of meditation, which is the origin of the Zen system, introduces us to a method of spontaneous, natural use of language that we get into without a precise or definite aim. For example, if we listen to someone who is talking, we will understand more clearly what he or she is telling us if we don't use our discursive way of thinking, analyzing, and labeling after each sentence that we hear. Owing to the silent attitude of the mind, called reservatus mentis, the perceptions are highly accurate, and one may begin to sense even the most insignificant details. In order to achieve this mental state, yogis concentrate on different areas of the body, on certain mantric sounds, or perform different positions according to the specific path they follow. Hatha yoga, Laya yoga, Jnana yoga, Kundalini yoga, or so forth. The role of these exercises is to calm and relax the mind. These exercises are also useful for tense, stressed people whose work implies excessive use of the discursive, logical aspects of their minds, an overuse of the left part of the brain. However, if we think too much about these exercises, we will soon find that they may easily appear sort of boring compared to the joy, passion, effervescence, and intensity of the erotic game. And why wouldn't it be boring compared to that? It is the most beautiful and transfigurating part of life. Eroticism has often proven to be the quickest, easiest, and most natural way to reach mystical experiences and great spiritual achievements by people aware of what they were doing and of what they want. Conscious abandon in the erotic experience leads us to the state of yoga. Mystical experiences occur because of a spontaneous and complete absorption of the consciousness and focus on each moment of the erotic fusion, because of the casting away of thoughts regarding future goals, sexual compatibility, or any other subject which may come to your mind. Deliberate abandon in the erotic experience has as a direct effect mental stillness and the intense experience of the state of yoga. Oriental traditions are very clear when they say that a complete experience of one or even several sensations induces a state of mental relaxation, a state in which both lovers may easily perceive the blissful state of pure love. Often this truth can be translated in different ways. Like Henri Maspero said, "For Taoists, the place of the wisdom and the spirit is the heart and not the brain. Symbolically, the brain is the organ of language, theories, and faith, and its use is obvious and beyond question, but at the same time, it does not have the qualities of the heart, which is the organ of intuition and direct perception." The Taoists knew then, as we know now, that this distinction does not actually refer to the actual brain and heart, the organs, so to speak, but to two different ways of thinking, of conceiving, and of acting. The main feature of the tantric approach to life and experience is, according to Eliade, the anti-ascetic and anti-speculative attitude, the full implication of senses without analyzing and labeling our feelings. This does not mean, however, that if we are to practice a tantric exercise, or engage in a tantric act of love, we will not know what we feel. Quite the opposite. Tantra has been called the one who sets us free from Maya, and rightfully so. In this case, Maya is the illusion and the magic of words, language, concepts, and speculations. Generally, there is confusion between reality and the way it is described, between an area and its map, between food and a menu, and so forth. The menu has its value, but still it is not nourishing. When we make love, when we stop thinking, we are capable to perfectly concentrate on the present and on what is going on. This is when the past and the future do not interfere with us anymore, and yet they are a part of each other, in a superior way, like two drops of rain that come together in a unique, transparent drop. Similarly, the two lovers experience ecstasy, and there is union, a real communication, not symbolic or incomplete, but capable of going further, to the superior fusion with the ultimate reality, to the state of yoga.
This is Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I am your host, Valentino.
Seven gates towards the universe. Sixth gate, Ajna Chakra. Part 1. The person who focuses intensely and meditates deeply on this chakra will gradually destroy the negative effects of all bad actions they have committed, either in their current or previous lives. The practitioner will become a great yogi and Jivan Mukta, spiritually liberated while still living on this planet. He or she will obtain the 8 great paranormal powers, known as Siddhis, and the 32 minor paranormal powers. Swami Shivananda. Location. On a physical level, the sixth center of force, or Ajna Chakra, is located in the space between the eyebrows. It is also referred to as the third eye, or Shiva's eye. Ajna Chakra represents the superior mental consciousness, which allows the direct perception of invisible worlds and of the subtle aspects of the manifested universe. On the physical level, it coordinates the activity of the pituitary gland, hypophysis, and of the cerebellum. The hypophysis together with the hypothalamus constitute the command system of all the other endocrine glands. On a psychic level, it induces and controls a superior form of intuition, clairvoyance, extrasensory perceptions, the ability to anticipate certain events that have yet to happen, and the instantaneous ability of perceiving all the qualities of any human being. Characteristics of a harmonious Ajna Chakra. The harmonious activation of Ajna Chakra grants mental insight, telepathic capacities, self-control, mental understanding through intellectual identification, and creative intelligence. A harmonious Ajna Chakra grants a state of unity, of communion with the cosmic laws and of identifying with the spiritual rather than the physical nature of one's own body. The mental center of command, influencing intuition and spiritual knowledge, Ajna Chakra is one of the three superior centers of force. As we mentioned in our previous articles, the fourth center of force, Anahata Chakra, which corresponds to empathic experiences such as affection, love, and compassion for all, marks the junction between the first three centers of force, connected to survival, group communication, relationship, sexuality, and willpower-related processes, to the last three. Then comes Vishuddha Chakra, which corresponds both physiologically and psychically to the process of nourishment. It helps in obtaining a state of superior receptivity and in opening the soul up towards divine inspiration. On this level, a sort of inner emancipation occurs through access to the superior planes of existence found in the universe. The following stage leads a human being to the most refined and elevated of inner perceptions. Through the awakening, enhancement, and control of his or her mental energies. Ajna Chakra represents the third eye, oriented towards our inner universe and towards the subtle mental aspects of the world. It also allows direct perception of parallel universes. In the yogi tradition, Ajna Chakra is considered the center of spiritual perception. The gradual awakening and activation of one's inner vision on this level means access to certain superior levels of consciousness that we each have the potential to reach, but that we cannot even imagine in our current states. Access to these superior levels of consciousness equals total escape from the limits imposed by the reality we have to deal with every day. Furthermore, this means evading from the limited concepts of our normal consciousness and focusing on experiences and phenomena that allow us to realize we are one with the infinite. This also means being able to surpass the barrier of time, space, and causality, which are apparently inexorable. In the traditional yogic view, the role of Ajna Chakra as an inner eye is mostly manifested as the harmonious integration of one's own being into the universe. Ajna Chakra is a focal point of emission and reception of energies, ideas, thoughts, and mental structures. Through it, we can conceive and understand the subtle mental universe exterior to our own being and its characteristic energies, thus helping us to govern our own inner universe. Just as our physical eyes help us to establish a certain rapport with the exterior things and phenomena, Ajna Chakra helps us establish a rapport with things, entities, and phenomena manifested in the astral and mental planes of existence. The person who knows how to focus on Ajna Chakra, the space located in the middle of the forehead and between the eyebrows, also gains a new perspective on the principles and concepts of time, space, and causality. Inner focus on Ajna Chakra helps a human being achieve an extraordinary level of evolution, in which the apparent multiplicity of events and phenomena can be simultaneously perceived in a harmonious and perfectly integrated vision. The superior, ideal state that characterizes this center of force is the awakening of the consciousness that brings with it deep intuition and understanding about all things.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I'm your host, Amaris. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme: amplifying the sixth center of force, Ajna Chakra. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Focus your attention between your eyebrows, which represents the projection of Ajna chakra in your physical body. This chakra represents the superior mental consciousness, which allows the direct perception of the invisible worlds and of the subtler aspects of manifested universe. It induces and controls a superior form of intuition, clairvoyance, extrasensory perceptions, the ability to anticipate certain events that have yet to happen, and the instantaneous ability to perceive all the qualities of any human being. The harmonious activation of Ajna chakra grants mental insight, telepathic capacities, self-control, mental understanding through intellectual identification, and creative intelligence. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: amplifying the sixth center of force, Ajna chakra. Let us begin. Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed your time with us and that you will join us again for our next broadcast.